no help, you're not going to get no benefits, just go away.
Now, with the whole process you went through, you actually had to go and talk to people in Congress and stuff to get anything done in the end, really, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I filed my claim with the VA. The VA gave me a statement of things that they needed. I supplied those things. They wrote me another letter telling me something else they needed. I supplied those things, and then they said that it wasn't adequate enough. A letter from my unit stating stressors and combat situations wasn't enough information for them to say, okay, you know, he's telling the truth about the stressors. He's got proof, because here's a letter with the United States Army heading on it and his first line supervisor's signature. That wasn't only his first line supervisor in Iraq, but he's also an administration here back home now that the unit's back home.
So you did have verification on paper that there was combat stressors leading to PTSD in that unit, correct?
Yes.
Now,
not only that, but I also had a statement from a doctor, a letter from my doctor, stating that due to things, incidents that happened in Iraq, that I suffered from PTSD, and they still said that wasn't enough.
Amazing. So what is it?
What I eventually did was, is I got in touch with, out of all people, a film producer that had contacts in Washington, D.C. and said, hey, I know somebody I'm going to call that's with the VA committee in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to talk to him on your behalf and ask him to look at your case and see if he can't break some of the walls down that's stopping you.
That would be,
of me talking to this man. And him asking permission to work my file, I received a letter of 100% disability. So basically, and the thing is, I had to do nothing else. Nothing else. I had done everything that could be done. They were sitting on their hands, and they were denying. And then, it's like a miracle, act of God, an act of Congress, got these people motivated to do something beneficial towards the veteran.
And that, the movie producer, that would be Dan Lohaus, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard very positive things about that, with him contacting, that would be Jeff Cover in Congress, right?
Yes.
See, that's, it seems nowadays that's almost what it takes to get somebody pushed through, is to have, you know, somebody like Dan, or, you know, and I have done it personally myself with three or four guys, you know, and it's almost like immediately after they hear it and know it's going to go public, it's like, oh, okay, here's your benefits right now, you know, we got it for you.
Well, it's kind of like having an itch and they scratch it, you know, and rather than letting it go any further, they want, you know, rather than you being able to go to the media and say, well, this is what I'm going through, and, you know, they just really don't care, and they're not going to do nothing. You know, by law, you know, by their own law, you know, it states in the title of Chapter 38 of the VA Code that when a veteran makes a claim that cannot be proven, but yet cannot be disproven, the benefit of the doubt is supposed to go to the veteran. That happened.
No.
I proved stressors. I proved disability problems with PTSD from the doctors, the VA doctors, and they still denied.
Now, you basically went to every extent, legal, you know, and provided every documentation they needed, and then it took somebody in Congress and somebody that, you know, was in the media to actually get them to acknowledge it.
Yes, instead of working the system, you know, in the military, you're trained, you're taught to go through your chain of command and work your way up, and to take care of things that way. If you step outside the chain of command, you're actually, you know, wrong.
Right.
You know, and going through this, you know, as a soldier, you start from the bottom went ahead, and I went and talked to Dan Lowhouse. He talked to Jeff Culver on my behalf. Jeff Culver called me and asked if he could look at my file and work it. If he, you know, if he could do anything with it, he would. And within 2 weeks of that, I received a letter stating that I was at 100%, totally and permanently disabled. And let me see, I've got a copy of a couple of letters here I can read to you.
Sure.
As far as proof of stressors, this is a letter from my unit. It's Department of the Army, Detachment 1, 1123rd, Transportation Company. It says, man to random for record. It says, subject, character letter. It says, 1, Specialist Woldridge, former member of the Arkansas Army National Guard, began his career with this unit, Detachment 1, 1123rd, Transportation, Blavel, Arkansas, December 2002. Soldier deployed to Iraq on February 12, 2003. Specialist Woldridge exemplifies the ideals of duty, honor, and country by sharing common goals with his unit members and their families. Specialist Woldridge was a hard-working soldier and did the duties expected of him. As his first-line supervisor, I did not ever have any problems getting him to do his job. Then he states that during our deployment, the 1123rd Transportation Company hauled for various units. One of the missions we had did involve a bus explosion that killed many young civilians and wounded others. Specialist Woldridge was part of his convoy, and I was convoy commander. Then he states, number 3, says, soldier Specialist Woldridge was hospitalized during this deployment and was returned to home station. He was believed to be unstable and therefore shipped home for medical evaluation. If you have any questions concerning this individual, call Sergeant Leo White, Readiness NCO. Response to that letter was, so that it was more than likely that Sergeant Leo White was telling the truth and that I was telling the truth, that they could not independently confirm it, therefore they had to deny.
My God, and that's the very opposite of what the statement is about, beyond a shadow. Because I've seen it down here in a case that was going on where the hearing officer said, if we can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt there's no claim, we have to award a claim. And I've seen that happen. So, you know, in your case, they actually denied they put the burden of proof on you rather than on them.
Well, here's another letter, dated March 29, 2005. It's from Dr. Rebecca Van Zandt, staff psychologist, psychiatrist, Mrs. Bamsey. This is just the end of the letter here. It says, since returning from Iraq, Mr. Williams has been extremely impaired, unable to work or care for his 3 young children. He initially drank alcohol quite heavily to cope, but has been abstinent for months now. In addition to the impairment treatment period under my care, he has also been followed in our Memphis, PA outpatient psychiatry clinic since the fall of 2003. His current medication includes clozapam, quetiapine, fluoxetine, 40 milligrams twice a day. Despite intensive treatment, Mr. Woldridge continues to experience severe symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder and depression. His sleep is poor and frequently disturbed by nightmares of the above-described events. He has frequent dissociative episodes in which he finds himself believing he is back in Iraq. He experiences little, if any, pleasure, is often hopeless, and has a sense of the foreshortened future. He struggles with intense anger, which at times has verged on physical violence. He continues to be quite depressed and has had frequent suicidal and some homicidal intentions. He feels quite guilty about some of the above-described events, while also at times still quite numb and empty. And she says, after careful assessment and consultation with other providers, I find Mr. Woldridge to be